This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's always cool when I have somebody on who shares the same name as I do. I won't forget it. Adam Smith, Inside Carolina on Twitter at @Adam_Smith_IC. There's a lot of underscores. Were there a lot of Adam Smiths on Twitter that you had to differentiate?
It's like my underscore key got stuck.
You made me get paid by the underscores. I don't know. It's an NIL deal. You have a special deal with the underscore society.
I've got to get my collective on that, AG.
there's a lot of things we could talk about. Let's just start with.
Oh my gosh!
I know there's a lot going on, and we're not going to talk about women's soccer, which was disappointing, of course, last night. I actually caught the very end of that. That's too bad. Let's start with football, only from this standpoint. It's probably not that big a deal because I don't think Clemson's offense changes with Cade Klubnik in versus DJ Uiagalelei. They both run. They throw the ball with DJ. They were throwing the ball with DJ. So I don't think there's a lot of differences in what they're going to do. But it sure did sound like Mack Brown didn't prepare for Cade because they hadn't really used him that much, even though they had. They've at least brought him in to change the mood. They did that against Syracuse. It led him to a win. It didn't against Notre Dame. That just sounded really odd that you would say that we didn't really think he was going to play.
First of all, excellent pronunciation on both quarterbacks' names.
Thank you.
obviously, DJU is an epic problem for someone like me, and I don't know why I want to call him Klubnik. I don't know. It gets stuck in there, but yeah, I mean,
it doesn't. I don't know that it matters though. You know, that's the weird thing. I'm caught in between of caring a lot. You just don't hear that admission.
You and I talked about it a little bit the other day. You know, quite frankly, I was pretty surprised to hear that out of Mac. Now, in Mac's defense, not that I came on to defend him, but
right.
he routinely says that he says, I'm not good after games when they lose, is what he always says. And we know Mac enjoys communicating.
Yeah.
So you know how it is sometimes that, you know, things can get twisted up there in the wiring. But yes, when he said that after the ACC championship game the other night that they didn't expect to see the backup, I frankly couldn't believe it because I was thinking, you know, this has been one of the major storylines, if not the storyline, with Clemson all season.
Right.
Who's the starter? How many times have you seen Dabo in some video or something, you know, saying we're sticking with DJ? DJ's
right.
Our guy. And as you said, the Syracuse game jumps out, the Clemson game, Clemson-Syracuse game. They were both unbeaten, and they went to Klubnik, and they were down, and he led them to a win, and there was some sort of stat, like he was the first Clemson backup quarterback to lead a second-half comeback since, like, Chase Bryce, I think it was, like, years
since,
ago.
Since Chase yeah. Bryce, yes.
It's seriously, I think that's the stat. Like since 2018, when Chase Bryce came in for, I guess it would have been Trevor Lawrence. But anyway, yeah, that one surprised me because you know we went and looked it up after the game because I was like, man, you know, he had played in 8 games.
Yeah,
Cade Klubnik, and you know they had not turned the keys over to him like they did Saturday night. But like you said, they had used him as a change of pace. They had gone to the bullpen.
Yeah,
so. That one surprised me, and I don't think that it was the greatest quarterbacking performance I've ever seen, but he certainly did shift the momentum for them and get them put in the right direction. It was a terrible start for DJU. I mean, they had two possessions. He did not get a first down. They punted twice. UNC's first possession of the game, they go right down the field and score, and things were looking good for them there in the first quarter.
Adam Smith from Inside Carolina is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Transfer portal, Tony Grimes, Cam Kelly, both in there. What are the concerns that you can see about, especially guys on defense, where they desperately need bodies and experienced bodies? What are the concerns that you see from guys who are entering the portal?
Well, it depends on how, like, rumor mill you want to go with this. because if you're a UNC fanatic, which there are some,
yes, there are.
there's a fringe of the Carolina fan base right now that is terrified that someone like, not to answer your question on the defense, but is terrified that someone like Alabama or Ohio State is going to come take Drake May from them.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons I think he was asked after the game, have you heard from anyone? And do you, what would your decision be? And he said, my intention is not to go anywhere.
Right.
In terms of the transfer portal, that is, depending how plugged in you are to the rumor stuff, there's a portion of people that are terrified that Ohio State's going to say, here's $3 million to come play quarterback for us next year. defensively, yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, like, I don't think Tony Grimes getting in the portal was that big of a surprise given sort of the way this season ended. You know, he all of a sudden didn't play against NC State, which I can tell you from the people I know around the program, that was a huge surprise. He had practiced all week before NC State, and he showed up day of the game and said he wasn't healthy enough to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing that, he did not start against Clemson in the championship game. And then he did come in, and I was kind of surprised that he came in because I thought they might be like, well, if you tell us you're not healthy enough to play, you ain't playing this week, buddy. So that one was trending toward Grimes leaving, which, as we all know, I mean, when he committed, it was hailed as,
yes,
you know, I mean, the greatest defensive back recruit. I mean, he was one of the highest rated recruits in Carolina history in the internet era, as we say.
Yeah, it would be interesting if Tony Grimes landed somewhere. I'm just throwing at a random school like Georgia and balled out.
Right.
That would be damning, I think, right?
That's the fear. That's the fear again. I'm over here speaking for the lunatic fringe of the Carolina fan base, but that's the fear that someone else would get him and coach him up and he would become a lockdown corner like he was promised to be. I mean, he honestly had a very nice true freshman season when he should have been a high school senior.
Right.
You know, that was
came early too. That's right. You good point.
Right. I mean, he was like a Duke basketball player. he reclassed, and he had a very nice, he had an excellent Orange Bowl against Texas A&M. A really good one.
Yeah.
PFF had him graded out the roof for that game. So, I mean, defensively, I'm going to answer your question here.
That's fine.
They've lost Ra-Ra Dilworth to the portal. I don't think that was a surprise. I think they were trying to hold on to him during the year. I think he was hinting all, you know, in the middle part of the year that he was going to go. I think they should be okay defensively if, you know, this is, you know, knock on wood, if no one else enters, who in the world, you know, there could be an exodus after the bowl game. I don't know.
Right.
But if they stand pat where they are, you know, I think Cedric Gray, the linebacker, you know, led the ACC in tackles, and he's sort of their heartbeat defensively. I think he will, you know, look and get an NFL draft grade and see where he shakes out. And there's a belief, now I don't know if this the right people are telling me this, there's a belief that he probably will come back rather than go pro. That will be a huge get or keep, you know, for the UNC defense. You know, they're going to be active in the portal, and we'll see what happens. But if you keep a Storm Duck at the other corner, you know, he may look around. I don't know. I think all these guys might look around.
I mean, why not? If you want money.
I mean, it'd be a bad business decision not to, wouldn't it?
It's sort of like the way it used to be when you were going into your last year in basketball. Go test the NBA waters and see what they say. Hey, let me just ask you a quick basketball question before we have to let you go. Adam Smith from Inside Carolina, at Adam_Smith_IC. So 9 games in, they haven't played really well in any of the 9 games. They played well in stretches for sure. Lost in 4 overtimes to Alabama, had a lead late. Indiana, Carolina was clawing back into it and then some untimely turnovers in live ball situations led to runouts. What do you think has plagued them more than anything other than maybe last year was more about chemistry than anything else?
You know, that's the question. What has plagued them so far? Because it's essentially the same guys, with the exception of Pete Nance,
right,
and not Brady Manek. You know, there was a thought that I have had. I don't know if this is correct. I could be crazy. But I felt like a couple of weeks ago, just talking to them, you know, it's almost like they were in this sort of weird limbo where you're still looking back at the way the season ended last year with getting to the Final Four, getting to the championship game, leading Kansas by 15 at the half.
Uh-huh.
And then looking ahead, it's almost like you were looking back 6-7 months, and then you're looking ahead 6-7 months. This is before things went off the cliff, is what I'm saying. This is when they were winning, but they weren't winning very convincingly with some of those mid-majors. So, you know, I thought they were just kind of in this weird limbo of you know, not really motivated in terms of, like, we're playing Gardner Webb, all due respect to Gardner Webb. You know, we're playing UNCW. We're playing College of Charleston, like James Madison. I felt like they were looking back at what they did last year and then looking ahead to what's to come. Now, recently here with these four losses, I mean, there have been some very concerning things. You know, like, if you want to talk the numbers, they're, like, in the 300s in assists, mm-hmm. and there's only, like, 352 teams in Division I. I shouldn't say only. There are 352 teams in Division I. They're in the 300s in three-point shooting percentage, the number of points they get from the three-point arc.
Yeah.
You know, some of the numbers aren't good. It's not – they – you know, I'm sure we all watched the Indiana game. There was just a strange lack of ball movement and standing around. I said it to Hubert actually after the game. You know, I said, you know, you guys don't get easy baskets. They just have not gotten easy baskets. And he's actually, I felt good. He said, you're right. I counted one easy basket, an inbounds pass to Baycott for a dunk.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're fighting it right now. And they need to get Armando Baycott healthy. He's got an ankle. He's got a bruised shoulder. He didn't play against Virginia Tech, as we all know. But, you know, it hasn't just been, you know, hit the button and we start back up as, you know, a 30-win team that's not going to be challenged here, which I think so many people expected. You know, I think so many people expected just to – if you looked at the betting lines on some of these games early in the season, it's kind of wild. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to beat UNCW by 32? Okay, whatever you say. You know, like, it was kind of like, wow.
Yeah.
But they're fighting it. And then, you know, Hubert has said they're defending, you know, Caleb Love and R.J. Davis differently. Teams are committed to blitzing the ball screens mm-hmm. and not letting them get into the lane for those floaters and those runners and then the dump-offs to Baycott for the dunks and stuff. So I think technically that's something to keep an eye on, because I would say if we're having a competition among the UNC fan base about who is most disliked right now, Tony Grimes and Caleb Love would be running neck and neck.
I wish people wouldn't do that, but that's what they do. Adam Smith, Inside Carolina. You're the man. I appreciate your time, sir.
It's always good to be on. Thank you, AG.
We will do it again, I promise. At @Adam_Smith_IC. They are throwing the Moroccan keeper in the air in a good way.
Don't drop him.
They might be throwing Spain's penalty takers in the air. Morocco advances on penalties. They converted 3. Spain was 0-for-3 in penalties. Tough way to lose. Tough way to lose. It was a fun match. Mm-hmm. I thought Morocco was the better side probably for most of the first 70 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spain had a lot of chances to score, and they just couldn't. But, I mean, I wasn't watching intently, just in the studio. Heck of a match. Spain is out. Morocco is through. Portugal will play later on,
mm-hmm.
and Ronaldo will not be in the starting 11. I'm torn here before I get to Dion. Yeah, there you go. Breaking news. I'm torn here because Ronaldo has, you know, he complained his way out of Man U.
Yep.
And he got to the World Cup and his teammates had his back. His teammates were supporting him. And then he tried to claim a goal that wasn't his.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's right.
Tried to claim a goal that wasn't his.
I think it grazed the hair.
No, it didn't.
I know.
They have the technology that said, nope, didn't touch any part of him. So he tried to claim that goal that wasn't his. And then when they subbed him out, he was moaning about being subbed out. And the coach didn't like it. He didn't like it. He didn't want any part of that. So it's supposed to be about country, right? See, not for him, not for Cristiano Ronaldo. So I'm torn. Do I want Portugal to lose with him or win without him? I'm torn.
Yes.
One of the two. One of the two. So I kind of want to see Portugal win today without Cristiano Ronaldo. And then maybe have him not play anymore. And then maybe he can just go complain and leave like he did at Man U. Anyway, my fault. All right, so let's get to the other matter that we were going to discuss here, and that is a new coach in Boulder, Colorado, at the University of Colorado. So I am not put off in any way, shape, or form by Deion Sanders leaving Jackson State and going to the University of Colorado. I was not mentioned this yesterday. It did not bother me that he basically got to UC and said, hey, guys, or maybe it's CU. I don't know if the U is first or the C is first. It didn't bother me that he basically told players, get in the portal. That would just leave more room for the players who are coming in. He introduced his son as, here's your quarterback. He's going to have to earn it, but here's your quarterback. I'm going to guess no. He doesn't have to earn it. He's the quarterback. Because Deion's kid is a good quarterback. And look, they did a very good job at Jackson State. He really did. I mean, they're going to play, by the way, Jackson State's going to play NC Central in the Celebration Bowl, right? That should be a heck of a game because Central had a good year, right? So, and look, I don't know if Central is at that level where Jackson State is playing football. Jackson State's undefeated. But it'll be interesting to watch that game anyway. But I wasn't put off by anything that Deion does. I think everything that we know about Deion is that everything is a show. Everything with Deion is for effect. A lot of times it's for Deion as much as anything else. Here's Bomani Jones on CNN talking about Deion doing what everybody else does.
Deion Sanders has spent the last 35 years telling us there ain't but one Deion Sanders. Now he's telling us go find somebody else to do what Deion Sanders does. You can't have this both ways. I don't judge him for taking the job at Colorado. They probably increased his salary by something like 15 times, right? I totally get that. It all makes sense. But what he did was something that college coaches do all the time, which is you have to sell people 4-year, 10-year plans when your plan is always 1 year at a time. That's the only way that you could really pull that off. And so he came in and he sold a long-term vision for what was going on at Jackson State, but his goals and ambitions were always to be a Power 5 head coach. My take has always been he went to Jackson State primarily because he wanted to be a head coach but didn't want to ever be anybody's assistant coach. So we had to find somebody that would give him a job and make him a head coach and so he could have that on his resume, and then he could take that to try to get the job that he actually wanted. Jackson State was the place that could do it, and he did a lot of good work while he was at Jackson State. But all the bigger, grandiose notions of what he was doing for somebody else, no, it was what it always is. He did it for Deion, and that's fine if you don't tell us that you're trying to do this for somebody else.
See, that is an interesting part of this discussion, because Deion did pose this as though he was doing it for HBCUs, to elevate HBCUs. And I think most of us thought at the beginning that he was doing it for Deion. I always thought that Deion was just trying to ultimately position himself to get the Florida State job. Mike Norvell now doing a very good job, so it doesn't appear that that job is going to be available to him, at least in the near future. Bomani continues, and he doesn't blame Deion.
But I think the magnitude of the financial disparity is so much greater than anybody realizes. I think the magnitude of the financial disparity between HBCUs and other FCS schools, the smaller division in Division I, is bigger than people realize it is. So there's room to criticize him for the way that he has left and for the fact that his initial rhetoric is not in line with his ultimate.
Well, Montezin, what would you have him do? What would you have the man do?
Oh, well, I wouldn't have come in the first place and said that God sent me here to fix HBCUs, and God decided that in the middle of it you were supposed to leave? Right? I mean, like, the thing I've said is maybe God wants 10% of 5 mil and not 10% of 375. If God can do math, I can understand why it is. He sold a dream and then walked out on the dream. People have the right to be critical of that. I also would have taken the job that he took at Colorado, right? It's not a judgment of the fact that he took the job, but this is not in line with what he told us for all these years.
Which, again, makes Dion like every other college coach or every other coach. They tell us what they think we want to hear. Rarely is it the truth. That's okay. We should know better by now.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Come one, shop all at the JCPenney Friends and Family Sale. Through Wednesday, use your 30% off coupon inside the JCP app and shine on with up to 60% off diamond solitaires and studs. Plus, get carried away with up to 70% off luggage from Samsonite, American Tourister, Skyway, and more. Anyone shops, everyone saves. We got your holiday. JCPenney. Offers valid on select items through 12/7. Offers reflect after coupon savings. Exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.